Will he take him on? He looks at Rivers and he says, "You're a little old. I'm young and I'm sneaky." Round one, Ames lets it rip. Strikes at two. Michael Walters wins the game for the Dockers. Off the ground for Bablich. Look at the celebration.
This to send them into a home preliminary.
Welcome back to the Talking Freo podcast where we give you all the latest Freo news and updates.
In today's episode, we'll be reviewing our round one loss to Essendon. We'll also be making our big calls for round two selections against Hawthorn, and have a special guest, Jack, who's a waffle umpire, who will be discussing some of the decisions from the weekend.
Also, make sure you go follow us on our Instagram, talking_freo, and check out our merch, which will be in our Instagram bio and our podcast bio. Yesterday's game against Essendon was a heartbreaker, wasn't it, Harry?
Yeah, it was very disappointing to not get the win against Essendon in round one.
Losing by 6 points.
Yeah, 6 point loss. I think we were too reactive in the first quarter to what they were doing. We were a bit slow. Slow getting to the game is the only really way to say it. And then we slowly got back into it in the last quarter. We pushed for it, but just couldn't quite get the win.
Dare I say, if it wasn't Corona season and we did have 20-minute quarters, we might have pinched it from them.
Yeah, that could have been part of the problem. Obviously, there was 4 minutes less in each quarter. But if you want to say that, they could have scored more in the first quarter if it was for a 20-minute quarter. But if it was 20 minutes in the last quarter, we could have snatched it from them. But it's obviously a little bit disappointing not to win round one. But, you know, we're a young team. We'll learn from this loss and we'll move on to next week against Hawthorn.
So what do you think went wrong?
I think we'll just... The first quarter, we weren't ready in the first quarter. Didn't look up for it. They put four on us early, and then it was always a long way back from there.
Pegging it back, yeah.
Like, no crowds, no one to spur anyone on. Obviously, it's flat in the ground because there's no crowd, so there's nothing to spur the players on except for themselves, which I think we did well after the first quarter. But
yeah, especially the last quarter.
Yeah, the last quarter, the boys got around each other, and we got close. We missed some opportunities in the last quarter to put them away. We just missed the opportunities, and it's very unfortunate.
Some missed opportunities, like Brayshaw missed, I think
he missed two. He missed two. Tavner missed one.
One was streaming straight into an open goal and just, couldn't convert. So that's a bit disappointing. But we had some good signs. Sam Sturt, what a game by the young.
Yeah, Sam Sturt. I predicted him to kick 5 on debut as my big call, which was, I was pretty close. But three on your debut is a very good effort. Like, not many people kick 3 goals very often either, because our forward line is very equal, I believe, and it's hard. Every week we get different people scoring the goals for us.
And his first goal was a 53-metre bomb. And what a first goal.
And some people get an easy first goal for their first one, but when you get one from 53 out on an angle, it's pretty good for your debut.
Glad to see his parents there up in the corporate box. I like that. I think that's
yeah, it's good of the club to get them in.
And the AFL.
Because you only have one first game, so you've got to get your family there to support you. So I think that's really good by the club.
Who do you think was the other impressors of the game?
Rory Lobb had a really good game, taking some good marks. He also kicked a goal late to get us back into it. So I think Lobb had a great game. Walters was pretty good. He was slow at the start, but got into the game and kicked a goal.
21 disposals and 6 inside 50s in goal, like you said. 5, he was just solid as usual. Copped a nasty knock to the eye.
Got a big bruise on there now. Doesn't look very good, does it?
No. Who do you think? Who do you think has room for improvement?
I think the young midfielders could have been a bit better yesterday. I think Brayshaw and Chera had quiet games for themselves.
Yeah.
But I reckon they can definitely look at this game and improve from it and play well again next week.
I think Ethan Hughes and Darcy Tucker were a bit inefficient by foot at some times, just kicking it straight down the Essendon's throat.
Darcy Tucker had that switch which led to their goal, which is probably his worst moment in the game. And he also panicked a bit. in the last quarter, but he's a young player and we know he's really good, and he just had an off game.
Well, luckily there's 16 more games to go.
Yeah, so hopefully we can show some improvements next week and beat Hawthorn.
Clarko was also there watching.
Yeah, Clarko was there. I don't know how he managed to get in, actually.
I think they're allowed to have one or two from each club.
Yeah, he wouldn't have been taking many notes from us apart from the last quarter, I don't think, because we were very slow early on. But I think most teams that have travelled, the interstate teams that have travelled this week, have been quite slow in the first quarters. That could be something to do with not being able to get out of the hotel as often as I used to be. Because we went out for one training session.
For 1 hour, yeah.
Yeah, and we went back in the hotel and we didn't come back out. We weren't allowed out of the hotel. That could have impacted. I'm not using that as an excuse for the loss, but that could have impacted our slow start.
There was some questionable umpiring decision. I'm not saying that was the reason why we lost at all, but we'll get Jack on later and he'll try and run us through some of the decisions. Do you think that played a little bit of an impact or not really?
I didn't think it was a massive impact, but obviously as a player, when you're not getting decisions, it might be quite annoying. We probably still would have lost without the decisions, but I know a lot of Freo fans are angry about the umpiring decisions, and that's why we're getting Jack on the podcast later.
So we have a few questions from our loyal Instagram followers, don't we, Harry?
Yes, we do, Ben.
So let's get right into them. Talia Deville has asked, what is the hardest thing about training/games?
Well, I think the hardest thing about games at the moment is obviously there's no crowds, so the boys have to get around themselves more than they used to, because the crowds used to spur them on.
Hard them up, yeah.
Yeah, and training, like, obviously they're not letting you high-five as much as you used to, so they're just fist-bumping and stuff. So training, there isn't as much of an impact, but games with no crowds, obviously it's going to impact the players a lot. The next question is from Memes About Fremantle, a very loyal listener to the podcast. What mistakes and positives Freo do during the game?
Well, I'll go for the positives. I think, once again, we've showed our fitness, running over the top of Essendon in the last quarter, even despite the shortened quarters. It was the same against West Coast in the Marsh series. We really, really pushed back hard at the end and ended up winning that game.
I think that really shows some fitness in the side as well.
Yeah, so I'll do that first. The mistakes were probably, I thought we were second to the footy for probably the first three quarters.
I agree with that. We were second to the footy and reacting to what they were doing.
Okay, so Max Hansen has asked, how do you think Liam Henry will go?
I think Liam Henry will be class when he turns up, when he can actually play. And I think he'll bring that X factor. He's like a bit like Michael Walters, very quick and can kick some good goals. So I reckon he'll be really good for us. The last question is from Hawthorn Zone, another loyal listener. What are some key things Longmoor needs to pick up out of the loss against the Bombers?
Well, again, it's his first real AFL game, so you can't really criticise him too much. But I think he needs to just pick up the pace of the game. It's a lot different to the Mars series, and it's a very, very quick game. I know he's already been at Collingwood, but the game style that Essendon played yesterday was very quick, get it up, get it in, solid footy.
Yeah, we're just reacting to Essendon early on, and if we can do what they did in the first quarter to Hawthorn, we'll be up and running, because our fitness looked really good in yesterday's game. So, firstly, Ben, we're going to review our calls for this weekend's game against Essendon.
Okay, we'll firstly get out of the way, David.
He got it wrong. He predicted 300 to win by 30, and they kicked 5 goals in the first quarter when he said they were going to kick none.
Yeah. What was your big call, Harry?
My big call was Sam Sturtler to kick 5. He kicked 3.
That's pretty good.
It was a pretty good prediction, but I won't give myself the point for that, because obviously it wasn't exact.
Mine was Andrew Brayshaw. 36 disposals and 2 goals.
He had the opportunity for 2 goals.
He just kicked 2, but he
didn't get there at the disposals, though, so we'll not be giving that one. So no points from the game.
So you're still 1 up.
1 up from the team, big call from team selection for this game.
Okay, get your team selection big call out.
Yeah, so for Hawthorn, the Hawthorn game, I think Mitch Crown might get left out of the team. And the most likely person to come in from is Connor Blakely. But my call's just going to be Mitch Crown not to make the team.
That's actually interesting, because my big call is Connor Blakely to get left out of the team. Tobe Watson comes into the team and Talon Duman gets dropped. So it's pretty much a three-way. I don't know if you can call the Connor Blakely thing a big call. But if I get all that right, can I...
I'll give you two points if you get all of it right. So Connor Blakely doesn't make the team and Tobe comes in for Duman. But I'm sorry, man. I don't think that's gonna.
We will see on Thursday night.
I think I'm gonna get pointed with Mitch Crabbe not making tape.
Yeah, we'll see. We got Jack McCarthy here from the Waffle Umpires. Thanks for joining us, Jack.
Thanks for having me, guys. Long time listener, first time caller. Thank you.
All right, can you just run us through the process the umpires look for in the push in the back?
All right. So I guess with the push in the back, you're looking for excessive force and also whether they're contesting the ball. So if they're going for the ball, where are their eyes? What are they trying to do? If they're purely just trying to push them out and they have no intent for going for the ball, they're just pushing the back. But a lot of the times it might look like a push in the back, but it's actually not, because they're just holding their ground and they go for the ball after. So that's the main thing.
The next thing is Townsend in the third quarter was looking like he was doing a block on Cox, and then he got given holding, and Townsend got the free kick. Did you think that was holding, or do you think it was a block?
I can see Townsend certainly went to block, probably didn't actually end up being a proper block. He sort of just stood in his way. But I certainly agree that I don't think it was a hold either. I think that was a really soft free kick. But at the same time, you can see that camera angle. You can see why it was paid. I can understand why the umpire paid it. But, yeah, I think it was pretty soft.
Okay, fair enough. Also, Hurley clipped Sturt's, gave him a nice ear massage. Do you think he'll get any weeks, or do you think he'll get a fine?
I don't think he'll get a week, but I wouldn't be surprised if he did. A nice big fine's probably coming his way, I'd imagine.
Okay, and also, just last question. The no crowds, do you think they have an impact on the umpiring decisions, or do you think it's relatively consistent?
I think it will certainly make it easier to umpire. I think there was a stat came out last year about free kicks for towards West Coast and Fremantle at Optus Stadium, and it was quite a big differential. So I think it's obviously going to make it easier to umpire. You can block it. There's no crowd to block out. You're umpiring on your instincts. So I think it will make it easier. It'd be interesting to see, after we play a few rounds, what it's going to be like. It'll be interesting to see.
All right. Thanks, Jack, for joining us. Thanks again.
No problem. Love your work, guys.
So thank you for listening to the Talking Ferret podcast for this week. That's all the time we have for today.
Make sure you go follow us on Instagram, talking_Frio, and check out our merch. It'll be in our Instagram bio and podcast bio.
On Friday, we'll be doing a comprehensive review of the team selections and our predictions for round 2 against Hawthorn.
We'll also review our big calls for team selections.
All right, see you then, guys. Go Frio.